Now, you may think I'm talking about the Sabbath, which I am, but that's not what I'm really talking about. I want to talk about the Pharisees again. And remember, one of the conflicts that people have is religion or religious views. And those views manifest themselves outwardly. They become something that people says, well, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this. And they attach religious views to that. And I want to go back to Jesus and what Jesus taught in Matthew 12:1. At that time, Jesus went on the seventh day through the corn, and his disciples were 100 and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the disciples saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the seventh day. Pharisees had all their rules. This is when you violate the Sabbath day. And so Jesus did a very clear teaching. You can learn a lot about how you view religious things by the way Jesus taught. The Pharisees made outward practices the absolute expression of inner righteousness. There's probably nothing that you do outwardly that makes you righteous other than your being obedient to the Lord. For example, coming to church. But just doesn't being present doesn't mean you're necessarily spiritual if your heart isn't right. But the Pharisees had all these outward rules, as a lot of people do. They have a lot of outward rules. Jesus explained, even in the practice of the seventh, there were exceptions based on inward attitude. And this is one of the most fascinating things that Jesus explained to the Pharisees. And that's not why they got mad at him. You'll see why they really got mad at him. The letter of the law did not take priority over the spirit of the law. There is an intent behind the Sabbath. God intended it for a day of rest and a day of worship. He intended it for Israel. And he had very strict rules for them. And the Pharisees added to that. Now Jesus comes along as God in the flesh and said, now let me try to explain this. You've misunderstood the teaching of Scripture. His response was to teach the meaning of the law. You've missed the whole point. First, he said unto them, have you not read what David did? Jesus is challenging them a little bit. Of course they've read it. They know what's in the Old Testament. They just hadn't understood it. Have you read what David did when he was 100? And they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the show bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Jesus comes along and says, huh, there's a little exception to this rule. And the rule is the Sabbath did not restrict deeds of necessity. God didn't design these outward rules that it must be done no matter what, because that wasn't the spirit of the Sabbath. David was hungry. He had been running from Saul, and so he came and technically violated the law, but the priest fed him. David had just escaped the jealous and vengeful Saul. They came to Nob, where the tabernacle was, and were very hungry from their journey. There was no food for them to eat. And so the priest Abimelech gave the bread to David and his men, and God gave no discipline from it. Even when you're talking about the Old Testament Sabbath, we'll get to that today, but the Old Testament Sabbath, there are exceptions to the rule. The exception is, Jesus said, because David was hungry and it was a necessity, he did what the law said you cannot do. The high priest would put 12 loaves. Then when that was over with a day, they'd be a day old. Then they would eat them. They were the only ones to eat it. But in this case, David did. And Jesus establishes a principle. If it's something of necessity, then it's not a violation of the Sabbath. Man says, well, I have to work on Sunday. So, That's kind of a necessity. If you quit your job, you don't get to eat anymore. You don't get paid. Sometimes farmers have to work because the harvest is in. Even in the Old Testament economy, and Jesus has come along and said, listen, you Pharisees have made it so legalistic, you misunderstood that even David, quote, violated your laws. But that was the way God intended, because there was a need, a necessity. So it was okay in this case. The Sabbath does not restrict service to God. I've heard people say, well, you know about working, my goodness. You preachers work. Here's what Jesus said. Or have you not read? I could just hear him saying that. Haven't you not read? Well, of course we've read, but then you didn't understand it. Have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? What are you talking about, Jesus? Yes, they technically profane the Sabbath by working on it. Why? The priests were not allowed but required to do many things on the Sabbath that otherwise would have violated God's law of rest. What were they? They had to light altar fires, kill the sacrificial animals, put the animals on the altar, and often did twice as much work putting the sacrifices up. And Jesus said, don't you understand that in your mind, the priest are actually profaning the Sabbath by working, but God was giving the exception. It's okay to do service for God on the Sabbath. And the priest did. That wasn't violating the law. Even the most legalistic Christian does not consider preaching, teaching Sunday school, leading a youth group, or any other ministry as profaning the Lord's Sabbath. It's okay. Jesus said, you've made your rules so strict that you can't do this, you can't do this, but haven't you even understood the Old Testament? There were exceptions. One, because there was a need. The need took priority over the letter of the law. And secondly, the priest ministered. I don't think anyone would say, well, the preacher's working on Sunday. Well, I'm doing ministry. But I'm not getting to that right now. I'm not talking about that. I'll get it in a minute. I want you to see that Jesus told the Pharisees, oh, you think you know the law? You think you know the standard? Well, you haven't understood the true meaning of what it's all about. Then this is what really made him bad. Jesus then proclaimed his greatness as God. You know what he said? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. And he was referring to himself. You know, to the Pharisees, nothing was greater than the temple other than God himself, and that's what Jesus was claiming to be. I'm here to tell you, Pharisees, that there's someone standing right here, which is me, who is greater than this temple. And they knew exactly what he was saying. He was claiming to be God, because I am greater than this temple. And that's what got him mad. It wasn't because he violated their little rules. What got him mad was he challenged their self-righteousness. Most of the time, if people get mad because you violated a rule, the truth is you probably violated some of their self-righteous views. That's what folks get mad sometimes. But Jesus claimed himself. He says, in light of his deity, he had a right to explain the true meaning of the Sabbath. I have a right to. Since I'm God, I can tell you what it means. And I can quote from the Old Testament and show you what it all means. Well, preacher, I believe that this is the way to do it. I believe you ought to have an altar call every time you open the door of the church. I think you ought to shout when you sing your hymns. I think you ought to do this, and I think you ought to do that. Now, wait a minute. We've talked about this. Do you really know what we mean? As we've said, there's a difference between the theology, the belief, and the outward practice. What is worship? What is an altar call? What is all this stuff? You have to define the meaning clearly, scripturally. And a lot of people don't want to do that. They just want to take a shallow view and say, this is the way it is, and that's it. No, it's not. There are some deeper understandings of truth. Outward things are flexible. But once you understand the principles, you can be flexible. The seventh did not restrict acts of mercy. He said this. But if you'd known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. There's a third exception in the Old Testament economy. The law didn't violate acts of mercy. The Sabbath was never intended to restrict acts of mercy done for others. And you know what Jesus then did? He healed someone. Oh my, you worked on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, no, wait, don't you understand? That even in the law, I desire mercy before I desire the legalistic action. It's more important to be merciful. The sacrifice was temporal and only pointed to the person of Christ and his death. Sabbath observance was not a substitute for the heart righteousness and compassion that should characterize God's people. Well, I like to worship this way. Great. I'd worship any way you want me to, because I understand what I'm doing when I'm doing it. I understand what the purpose of it. I'm focusing on the person of God. There's a lot of things we do that everybody thinks that, well, that's Bible. Not necessarily. Because we've taken the meaning of something and just like the Pharisees and made the outward absolute. And it's not. And when you learn what the scripture teaches, you can be flexible on the outward. We've talked about that. Okay. God sometimes sets aside a law for the sake of mercy. God's desire is not to condemn for every little thing, but to have a heart that loves God and loves for people. And Jesus said, you know what? You're criticizing my disciples because they were hungry and they went and got food on the Sabbath. Don't you know what David did? When it comes to needs of necessity, that doesn't mean you're violating the law. The need of a necessity, something that's necessary, is more important than the outward rules. Same thing with ministry. Same thing with acts of mercy. I'm now going to heal this man on the Sabbath because that's more important than your rules. It's more important to show mercy to this person and grace. Then Jesus again claimed his deity. This is what made him mad. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the seventh day. Oh, do you know what he just said? He was the Lord God whom the temple honored and the Sabbath served. And I'm in charge of it because I'm the Lord God. And I'm the one that designed it, and I'll tell you how the true interpretation of it is. The New Testament does not require Sabbath observance, but gives freedom in this regard. But that's not my point tonight. You may think, oh, that's the point. Preacher taught on the Sabbath. No, that's not my point. My point is, when you study the Pharisees, and you study their absolute outward rules that came from their religious view, Jesus challenged them not on the outward rule, but on the true meaning of what the Sabbath was. That's the key. Preacher may read his sermon. The preacher may shout while he's doing his sermon. He may run up and down the aisle when he's doing his sermon. The most important thing is he preaching the Bible? That's what's important. And like we said one time, that if that's not your style, then don't come. Go to the place where it is your style, because there's flexibility there. Once you understand the meaning. And what Jesus did, listen, this is very important. He didn't challenge their outward rules. He challenged their theology on what they believed, how they understood the scripture. He did the same thing in another passage of scripture. He, all the time, Paul, when there was conflict in Corinthians, you know what he did? Remember when Paul said, oh man, I like Apollos. No, I like Paul. No, I like this person. And they were having a fight over different preachers. You know what Paul did? He taught them the truth. You know why I preach the Bible to you? And I don't meddle in outward stuff. For the simple reason, when you teach the Bible and people learn the truth, they become more flexible and become more godly, and their attitudes change. But when you start yelling about, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? That's when people can be upset. What the truth is, people need to learn the Bible and what the Bible actually teaches. That's what Jesus did. He didn't confront the outward. He taught them. If someone came to me and said, I don't like the way you do that. Someone recently said, I can't go to your church because you don't do such and such. And I won't tell you what it was. And the first thing I thought of, well, number one, that's not even in the Bible. They cooked up something that they think is spiritual. But there was no need to. I tried to explain it to them. There was no need to because their mind was made up. So I said, well, great. I know some other churches you can go to. And I pointed out some other churches. That's okay. But Jesus taught the truth, the thinking. Christianity is thinking that transforms the attitude. Now, I hope you can understand what I'm saying. Christianity is not browbeating the sheep. Christianity is teaching the sheep so they may understand the truth. You are not living in ways you should because, one, you don't understand that principle. You don't understand that truth. You may not be experiencing the joy of the Lord because you don't understand what it means to be in Christ. You don't understand what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't understand the nature of the church. Some people look in there and go, oh, isn't it a beautiful building? It's not what I see. Oh, I do see that. I'm thankful for it. I see the Lord Jesus Christ seated in heaven. He's the head of this place, and I'm the shepherd of the place. And every time we come Sunday, I stand in the pulpit, and I have only one goal. Except this Sunday, I told you a few jokes. I have a goal, is I'm preaching the word from the master so that you're instructed in the word. The word is what will change hearts, not just telling people to do things. Now, what about the Sabbath? Well, the actual seventh day has been altered in the New Testament. The Sabbath is Saturday. Colossians says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. We do not worship the Lord on Saturday. In the New Testament, we set aside and it is Sunday because of the resurrection of Christ. Romans says this, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, the Lord not eateth not, and giveth God thanks. What he's simply saying is, people have different understandings of what they practice. But make sure that whatever your practice is, you're doing it because you love the Lord. Now, what do you mean? Well, I will share with you my philosophy. You do not have to do it because I am not a legalist. I'm not going to tell you this is the way it's done. But because of the Old Testament teaching on rest, and we now come to the New Testament, there are certain things that I have learned to practice, and that primarily was from the seminary I went to. When Saturday night at midnight came, books were closed, no more studying on Sunday. A lot of folks thought, we'll go crazy. Do you know that's one of the greatest things in the world? You could set it aside for a whole day. Didn't have to think about it. What about the practice of a day of rest and renewal in the Lord? I try not to do chores and other things that could be done Monday through Saturday on Sunday. Extensive cleaning, shopping, etc. Now, I'm not going to say that's the rule, and if you violate it, and if you see me at Walmart next Sunday, aha! Preacher, blew it. No, it's a practice that I try to. But that doesn't mean there may not be need of medicine, and oh, we run out of jelly, I got to have jelly. You know, but as an attitude. I try not to. If I can do it Monday through Saturday, I'm not going to do the shopping and washing. Now, you can do whatever you want to. Now, the truth is, I'm trying to practice a principle in my heart, and it's what I practice, but I don't demand it of anybody else. I hope you understand that. I'm trying to be obedient to the Lord, but it's my practice of a principle. Well, preacher, what about the farmer has to work? Don't you just remember what we just said? Jesus said there were exceptions. What about the person who has to work on Sunday? Necessity. He has to. He gets fired, but if he work on Sunday, how's he going to feed his family? Or she, how they're going to feed their family. I'm so glad nurses work on Sunday. I'm so glad the police work on Sunday. I'm so glad there's a lot of people work on Sunday. Can you imagine you go to the hospital and say, sorry, some of these people violate their conscience, they're going to work today. Sorry, you're just going to have to die today. No. My point is, in practicing the principle I draw from Jesus' teaching, there are exceptions. But I, once again, don't make the outward absolute. Someone used to tell me, I have to work on Sunday, preacher, and I can't be in church. And am I doing bad? And I said, no, because I understood the scripture. This is what you have to do. What you have to do. Now, some folks do things on Sunday. They don't plan to come on Sunday, or the next Sunday, or the next Sunday, or the next Sunday. That problem is not what they're doing. The problem is they don't plan to come. That's just a good excuse not to come. But once again, I don't make this absolute. Sunday should be a time for going to church, resting, and seeking the Lord. There are exceptions. Now, I don't make that an absolute. You have never, I don't think you have, I've taught this way back, but I don't think you've ever heard me dot on anybody for doing anything on Sunday. For the simple fact, that tends to be legalistic. But I'm just sharing with you a principle that I try to practice. You do with it what you want to. And you'll probably see me in Walmart on Sunday. I know good and well I'll have to go to Walmart on Sunday. You'll say, preach, I learned. No, it's just a general principle that I follow. There's another one I follow that I don't know if I should tell you. But I will tell you. Because you don't have to do it. I will not. And I never will. I probably will have to do Sunday. I will never eat in a restaurant that has a bar. Never. You won't go to Pizza Hut? Yeah, I might go to Pizza Hut. Why? Well, one, I have a wife from Iowa. She gives a little background to this business. In the town of Swisher, which is the size of Boston, there are zero churches, but there are three bars in it. And a bar there may mean something different than here. And I'm not going to frequent a business that puts it out for everybody to see and to glorify. Now, if I go somewhere where they serve it, it's not a big deal because they're not glorifying it. But the big bar with all the liquor, I'm not going to eat there. When we went with the basketball team, you know, they wanted to eat. We were on the state championship run. And everybody, I get tickled sometimes with the fundamentalists who think they're so spiritual. But it was no big deal to them. But me and Deanne said, I'm not going in there. So we told them, we're not going there. And we had to go across the street and eat some old stupid piece of chicken from somewhere. Because it was a nice steak place. Now, if you see me there and I see you there, I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to, and don't condemn me. But because I want to practice some standards, it's one I personally practice, but I will never preach it in the pulpit because that's your business. There's nothing in the Bible that says otherwise, but I want you to understand why I do it. Well, preacher, you shop at Walmart. Well, sure. When I go to Walmart, they got, I don't know what they got by there, but they got something. But it's not, everybody don't look at me and say, well, I know why preacher's at Walmart. He's shopping for some liquor. You don't know that. I'm trying to find unscented deodorant that I never can find. I hadn't found it for a month. I'm on my last stick. So don't smell me in that 2 or 3 Sundays. But now if you see me walk in the liquor store, you know good and well I ain't shopping for deodorant then. A preacher, some people drink. Well, big deal. I don't care. I really don't care. You know what, Drew? I don't care what any of y'all do. I do, but I don't. And I don't want to know anything you do. Don't tell me nothing. Preacher, you know what so-and-so does? I said, I don't want to know. I am not God. I got enough trouble keeping up with me. I ain't got time to keep up with everybody else. But I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Jesus taught a truth to explain to the Pharisees outward things that they had made absolute. There's a difference between a practice such as what I just told you that I'm personally doing, but there's no righteousness I'd gain from it. I'm not a better Christian than you because you shopped on Walmart on last Sunday. That doesn't make me a better Christian than you. It's just a personal principle I'm trying to practice in my own life. You may have your principle. There's one thing, and I'll close with this. I was going to mention this last time when we talked about religious beliefs. There's one thing I will never do, never, never do, in no shape, no form. I will never do it. Preacher, you got a verse on it. Well, I think I could try to hunt one down, but I don't have a verse on it. I can't find a verse on it. What is it, preacher? I ain't going to tell you. I will never do it. Now, I've seen other folks do it. Don't make no big deal to me. I've gone places where they did that. I bet you wonder what this is. But I'm not going to do it. You know why? Because the way I was raised. I was raised a certain way, and that got in my brain. I was thinking about when he was talking about religious views and what about the principle. But sometimes you're raised a certain way, and I don't care how many verses you quote me. I'm still not going to do that. Because it's just in the fiber. You might have some things like that. It's just in the brain. It's just there. You don't see nothing wrong with something, or you see something that's wrong. And well, what verse are you? Well, I don't know. I could find a verse you want me to. It's okay to have that. It's okay to have preferences. It's okay to like this church, that church. But it's important to know why you practice what you practice. And why you do what you do. What is the meaning? And the most important thing is the teaching of the scripture. That'll change anything. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight and we thank you, thank you, thank you for the wisdom of the Bible. And we thank you for the truth of it, Lord. Help everyone to understand what I'm distinguishing with, to understand clearly the meaning of the Sabbath, and Jesus said because of that there were exceptions. But the Pharisees didn't care. They were just using the outward rules so they could look self-righteous. And Lord, there's a difference between practicing principles, but we don't have to be absolute for other people. It's maybe something we want to do and we feel is right, but it don't have to be done for others necessarily because it's not a clear biblical thing. So we ask you, Lord, to give us the wisdom in all this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.